and I'm just angry. I'm 7 years old, f***ing angry.
Before we go forward and finish this beautiful last episode of The Old Lost Trail, where we reach the pinnacle of faith, I want to take you backwards for just a few minutes to remind you that only fullness in Jesus Christ, not empty, worthless profession of faith in Him, will be the only refuge of peace and shelter from the darkness now rapidly increasing in our world. This video, although currently unlisted on my original YouTube channel, was made from a journal recording I made 10 years ago on February 26th, 2010, where God began giving me the insight in my spirit that America's days of peace were numbered.
I have a very, very strong belief now that this peace is not going to last in America much longer. I believe it has to be that America's days are numbered. It has to be, if you just look at it from God's standpoint, that we give Him such lip service, and it's going to be painful.
Then, while living in India, God moved in me to post the following video on October 1st, 2016, predicting things were going to start getting much, much worse in the world.
And shooting people and the mass shooting here, the mass shooting there, when I see the unbelievable tornadoes and destruction, when I see the hurricanes coming through and destroying, when I see the floods that nobody can even describe, I see the forest fires burning, I see the political corruption, I see all the picketing and the angst, and I see all the fear and the corruption. If you're one of those who's feeling the fear of what you see on the latest Facebook post or the latest newsreel or the latest headline or the latest water cooler conversation, it's only going to get worse. It's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. In Romans 1, it says that God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against the godlessness and the wickedness of men. God is going to continue to turn up the heat. The Bible says He's going to shake everything so that only that which is true and solid will remain. It says that it's going to get so bad that men's hearts are going to melt for fear. Do you feel the fear already? Because if you do, I'm telling you, you haven't seen anything yet. There's a hardness going to come on this planet that you can't even imagine. And I want to tell you why it's so dangerous. Most of us are totally not ready for it. When ISIS comes ashore, or our economy completely collapses, or the government turns against us, or there's complete chaos and anarchy in the streets because the people are sick and tired and sick and tired.
When I saw the photo of Greg running through the tear gas and...
Okay. I'm fine. I didn't even breathe anything. I'm just angry. I'm 7 years old. F***ing angry. Stop.
This is personal, being here in Minneapolis. I mean, this is the U.S. government attacking its own people.
When men no longer, as the Bible says, scoffers in the last days, when there are not enough men with the Spirit of God in them, and everybody is given to natural instincts, let me tell you what happens. It becomes like the animal kingdom, and the strong devour the weak, and everything becomes about survival. And if you're not strong enough, you die. That's what's going to end up happening. And God is going to be pleased to bring affliction after affliction, disaster after disaster on this earth. And here's what makes me so angry about this. People don't believe these kind of things are going to happen. You're going to have to live through some terrible, trying days ahead. If you have fear now, how is your faith going to stand when the world around you begins to fall apart? When the foundations of everything you've built your life upon begin to shake? What are you going to do when God begins to open up the floodgates and more natural disasters and more things? And what are you going to do when the very things you're trusting in and the people you're trusting in are not there anymore? What in the world are you going to do when everything you've ever known comes falling down around you? What if God in His mercy is trying to shake you up a little bit, get you to loosen your hands, your death grip on this society, your death grip on your life, so that you can surrender to Him and find the only life that will carry you through the coming tribulation that's coming on this world, the only life that will carry you into the arms of a loving God?
1,960 years ago, the Spirit of the living God predicted through His servant, Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred.
A pregnant woman calls her mom for advice.
Kicking like crazy.
He's listening. Put your hand on your tummy and hum to him. You used to love that.
But wait, her mom is dead. She's talking to an AI-generated granny.
They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Through the same beloved apostle whom the Spirit of God predicted these increasingly wicked times we are in, he gave another command, which we must obey if we are to keep our faith alive as an overcomer in the days ahead. Philippians 4, 8-9 NLT. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Even in the very darkest of days, not only does God know how to preserve his chosen elect while punishing the ungodly, but he enables them by faith to forsake the world, to look away from its angry winds and raging waves, and to remain in peace while keeping their spiritual focus on the sovereign Lord and his personal will for their lives. As the angel told the prophet Daniel, those who have this kind of faith will do exploits for their God. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith.
Brothers and sisters, there are places you will reach in your walk with Jesus that are very risky. This is very dangerous, what I'm doing. If you look to the right, there is a big time slope. I could easily start to slip and hit the rocks down and be very much in trouble. If Lisa were here right now, she would, after she beat me, she would probably kill me. But the truth is, she would have never let me do this. And it's a picture of how so many things in the Christian life are risky. When you know that God has called you, you go and you leave all the consequences to him, no matter what. It's really, really important that we trust him. And there will be family members who will tell you, don't do this, you can't do it, it's so dangerous. And they will look at the wind and the waves. And you may slip, you may stick your foot in a deep hole here or there. You may see circumstances that contradict your making. That's where faith comes in and says, I don't live by what I see. I live by what I know. I live by faith, and I know the one in whom I have trusted. Wow. This is some kind of view. Oh my goodness gracious, right now, all the hard work. Wow. This is the most amazing view I have ever seen in my life, much less that I've actually climbed up to. I can't believe how incredible this is. Wow, it's amazing. I mean, seeing sailboats down there that look smaller than ants, and the casinos on the state line are so small, and I can see finally the Tahoe golf course. And you get up here and you feel like literally everything is beneath you. Everything is beneath you. I mean, this is just incredible. There are no words to describe what it feels like when you've made the kind of effort you've made to get up to the top like this, and then you get this reward that is unmatched, that you know so few people have. And when you climb to the top of Jesus Christ and you get to the place where I got to in the story, though he slay me, and you realize that no matter what God does to you, no matter what God takes, no matter what God gives, you know that God is good and you know that he is faithful. You've settled the matter. You're going to heaven. You're a Christian. You have faith. Jesus said, anyone who loves their life in this life will lose it, but those who hate their life and lose their life and forsake their life in this life would keep it for eternal life. And you've settled the matter that God is sovereign, that God is good, and that because of God's goodness, he allows bad things to happen, and that God is cruel. He's cruel to our flesh and to everything that gets in his way. He's cruel to all of that which is in us naturally that rebels against him. And the only reason he's cruel to us in those ways is because he's loving to us in the spirit. He knows that flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life. He knows that to go on to the heights with him, we have to be done with this. It's not my will be done, but your will be done. And this is difficult. This is difficult. I have a clip in one of my messages that I made in the series called Never Let Go, where I just suddenly sitting on that swing yell out, the Christian life is so much about perseverance, brothers and sisters. When I'm climbing up that mountain, it is so much about perseverance, but look at the reward. This is considered to be one of the most beautiful places in the world. I look out over these mountains and I know that I'm above most of them and pretty much even with that beautiful range over there. And it really does give you the sense that all of the world is beneath your feet, that Jesus has translated you from the lowlands, you know, down there where Vanity Fair is, and all the false entertainments that lie to us and the devil's promises that never, ever match up to what they seem to promise in the beginning. All of those temporary fleshly pursuits of pleasure, the sins, the darkness, the being cut off from God, the missing the adventure from being walking in faith with God. There's none of that down there. And you know what's really interesting is I'm pointing down there as if that's so far. And this is the second highest alpine lake. Actually, it's the highest alpine lake in the United States. It's the second deepest. And that's 6,200 feet above sea level. And it looks like it's just way down there because I'm about 4,000 feet above it. And so this is supposed to be one of the most beautiful views in the world, one of the most beautiful places to come. And yet I will tell you, the actual physical natural mountain climb that I just made, this view behind me being here in Lake Tahoe with Lisa, as beautiful as it is, as wonderful it is as it is, and so thankful to God I am for it, it is nothing, my brothers and sisters, compared to going on the heights with Jesus Christ. You have to trust me. Unfortunately, so many people think they can reach their fulfillment and find their happiness and get through the darkness of life and the difficulties and find the sugar that makes life worth living by coming to places like this, but it never lasts. But going on the heights with Jesus will always last. He will never forsake you. He will never disappoint you, brothers and sisters. Now listen, finally, he won't disappoint you. He will disappoint you an awful lot along the way because his ways are not our ways.
We are, we have been actively seeking a relationship with God, and we're pretty regular in the church, and we've really putting God at a focus in our life, and we've really tried to learn his will and plan for our lives.
So many of the things that you and I face, difficulty that you went with me on in this journey that we don't understand, that seem to make no sense at all, that leave us feeling like God has abandoned us, rejected us, wanting nothing to do with us. It simply comes down to John 13:7. You do not understand now what I am doing. Later on, however, you will understand. And as I'm climbing up that mountain and you feel the pounding in your feet and you feel the hurt in your knees, and you can see I have an injured knee. I have to be careful actually standing on this rock right now, but you feel it and you start to question whether or not it was worth it. And you say, you know, why am I doing this? Brothers and sisters, this is why you do this. And that is why you do this. I cannot tell you how amazing it is after 14 years of climbing with Jesus, when I put out, though he slay me, and my wife will testify, my life changed forever. There's been no more highs and lows, no more ever doubting my Father in heaven and his goodness, no more needing to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He has proven himself to me, just like he has millions of people that have come before me, brothers and sisters. This is fullness in Christ. This is the summit that you must fight to reach. You must resist Satan. You must not quit. You must keep going. I love you very much. That's why I've gone to all this hard work to make these videos and open my life and make it transparent, no matter how many people have misunderstood and misjudged. I wanted you to have an example that I didn't have. And I beg you to keep going no matter where you're at. And if you haven't started, start. Count the cost. Follow the steps. He will support you. You will overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against a Christian shall prosper who lives by faith. Is the arm of the Lord too short? Is anything too hard for the Lord? All things are possible for him who believes. Jesus Christ and God our Father calls every single Christian, no matter what your age is, he calls all of us to begin the climb. If you don't start until late, you won't get that far, but he'll catch you climbing when he comes or when you come to him. And that's what matters. If you're young, you get started now. Bear the yoke while you are young. It's easier to build a walk with Jesus and to endure all the suffering and to lose all the life you have to lose when you're young. Start young if you can. For the rest of us, let us keep going. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Think how often when you and I traveled up this mountain today, or in the last few weeks that you've been following along, I couldn't see any of this. I've never climbed up so high. I've never done anything like this before, brothers and sisters. This is truly an amazing reward for having the courage and trusting God. God gave me grace for my knee. God gave me grace when I lost my microphone. Oh, praise God. I can't believe it. I found my microphone. I dropped it. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I found it. That is absolutely amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my goodness, what a sweet little blessing. You know, seriously, I could almost weep. It's just $100. It's not that big of a deal, but you know, I prayed. I'm like, Lord, I don't want this to cost me $100. I can't afford to be spending $100 on another microphone while I'm trying to do your work. Please, Father, help me to find it. And I prayed and prayed. I mean, seriously, just look around at all these rocks. Look around the whole thing. Look at this, how far. You can't even see where I went up. This whole path, this thing could have fallen into any crack. It could have been anywhere. And God led me back down exactly the way I came up, and I looked and saw it laying in the dirt. Mwah. Thank you, Father. I tell you what, you talk about good meals on the way home to keep you from collapsing. This is a perfect example about, you know, when the woman lost a coin, or when the man loses a sheep and she goes hunting for it, and you have such joy when you find it. I've seen so many blessings like this happen over the years, where I lost something or something bad happened and I prayed and God redeemed and recovered. This is beautiful. I will never forget. I cannot believe, what are the chances of trying to find this laying on the ground? I just can't even believe it. It fell all the way from up here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Man, that put a smile on my face. Praise the Lord. God gave me grace to make the videos for you. I beg of you, if you like the scene behind me, I promise you, you would love the scene that's in my heart by faith even more. What you see behind me doesn't compare to what's inside of me by the mercy and grace of God. It's been a long, hard road. Brothers and sisters, it's not likely that you'll have to suffer to the same degree that you've seen in my life. You'll have to suffer. It's hard. It's written in the Bible. But unless you're being called into a full-time place of ministry, you shouldn't expect to have to suffer this much. But to lose your natural life is difficult. To crucify your will, to take up your cross and walk with Him, and to deny yourself, it's very difficult. And I want to apologize to you for the people that have lied to us. So many Christians have been lied to about what true faith is. And when I come out here and show them on the mountain, they get mad at me when they find out how hard it is. Or those who began to climb with me and found out it was too hard, they didn't have the faith and they turned back. First rebelling against me, then rebelling against God, exactly like the unfaithful Israelites under the tutelage of Moses. Under his lead, they couldn't stand and they doubted when God treated them in with mysterious ways. When He led them five times to waters that weren't there or waters that were bitter. They misunderstood His ways. They grumbled and they complained. And they didn't have faith. And they shrunk back. And God destroyed them in the wilderness. So many will come with me when they see a great miracle at trusting God in the storm. But when they see that I've had to now 14 years later, keep going, keep denying myself, keep carrying my cross. It gets ugly. People begin to have doubts. The darkness comes. Why am I doing this? Did you bring us out here on this mountain to die? Were there no graves back down there? Or they'll say, like what Taylor did, Michael, we're returning to a simpler faith. There is no such thing as a simple faith in Jesus Christ that can save you, brothers and sisters. You can only find that in a YouTube video. You can't find it in the Bible. You can't find it in the biographies of the thousands that have testified in books to us. This is a difficult life. Have faith in God, Jesus said. Trust in God, trust also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. He'll prepare a place for you right now with spiritual abundant life. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, He has come that I may give you life and life to the full. Brothers and sisters, it's time for you to continue to press on into life to the full. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you and strengthen you and give you everything you need so that you too can keep going, believing that there is a glorious spiritual mountaintop for you, that there is an abundant life, that there will be rest, there will be peace. You can go on the heights, and there will come a time when all of your sins, all of your weaknesses, all of your fears, all of your doubts, all of your perplexities, all the mysterious dealings of God, all the things He gave, all the things He took away, all of that will be under your feet as you continue to rest in Him, resting in the goodness of God, trusting in His sovereign hand. It's real, brothers and sisters. It's real. Where I'm standing right now looking, everything below me, everything gorgeous, everything peaceful, closer to heaven than I've ever been. All of this, all of it, is a picture of exactly what you feel in your heart when you give yourself fully to the climb. And Jesus finally welcomes you to the top. Brothers and sisters, you cannot miss this. I do not see any place in Scripture where you can be the Lord of your life and choose to do as you see fit and still go to heaven. Jesus expects all of us to climb this mountain, to endure and persevere and suffer for Him for 20, 30, 40 years in this life, that we may live in eternal happiness and bliss with Him in heaven. Please, brothers and sisters, stay on the climb if you're already on it, and get on it if you're not. And may God bless you richly as you do to enjoy this adventure with Him. Please go back and watch these videos. Find the ones that you could identify with what stage you were in so much, and watch them over and over for your encouragement. And most importantly, be sure to go through all the recordings available at relentlessheart.com, like in Trusting God in the Wilderness, to keep yourself encouraged, to keep hydrating yourself, fueling yourself, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's time for me to head back. Lisa is surely going to be worried. It's taken me a lot longer to get up here than I thought. But I love you and I appreciate you and I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for making this very difficult hike with me. That's where I came from, way down there. That valley down there is 4,000 feet. This is almost 10,000 where I'm standing right here.
Ten years earlier, I started a project called From There to Here. I had the idea to use the sketch of a mountain to illustrate the stages I had seen in my own journey of learning to walk with God in the obedience that comes by faith. Deuteronomy 8, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. The sweetness of finding fullness in Christ increases as we reflect back on the difficulty of reaching it. Here's a quick look back at the previous stages of the Old Lost Trail prior to reaching the pinnacle of faith.
And I want you to see today that a mountain for the last 10 years of my life has looked like one of the closest illustrations I could possibly come up with as to what it truly looks like to be a faithful, cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, faith-walking Christian. You sound to me like you're preaching what they call a works-based gospel. Like, what about the thief on the cross? He was saved easily and instantly. It wasn't hard for him to be saved. The thief on the cross never had to actually live his faith. He never had to be tested in his faith. And as I watched people getting in this gondola, going to the very top of the mountain, I looked at Lisa and I said, that is modern Christianity. That is easy believism. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that anyone who tries to enter except through the gate and tries to climb over the wall in another way is a thief and a robber. At this stage, you still believe that the cheap thrills and pleasures of Vanity Fair will be lasting and satisfying to your soul.
And then also you realize, looking back, what did you reap from loving that life?
There's probably been any number, perhaps dozens of people that have tried to tell you you have sin in your heart and that you need to turn from it and you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ and believe that He is the only Son of God. You've at least been born again, as evidenced by the new creation that exists in your life and heart. You were once like this.
You know, there's two things you think about when you come to South Florida: money and lots of money.
And now you're like this.
And the focus on the money and the things, and I see my attitude. It breaks my heart to see who I am apart from Jesus Christ.
And then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. And follow me.
He was calling me to come closer to him. He was calling me to begin to consider his purposes for my life.
If I were to go and interview some of these people and ask them, so could you tell me some of the sacrifices that you've made in order to do this? What are some of the things you've given up? And they might talk to me about having given up relationships, given up time with family.
If Jesus did it all, if the finished work gospel means that you don't have to do anything but believe, why the rest of the Bible?
And as I read that story, God said, I'm telling you in advance, I'm going to deliver you.
And as we saw in the story, Trusting God in the Storm, and as 1.7 million people have seen, God did for me what he promised.
There is some sort of a radical step that usually has to be taken to separate you. It's a type of separation.
I got some unsubscribers in the last couple of weeks as I've begun to share my heart and get way far away the person I used to be.
But Abraham, being the father of our faith, you can see him having to leave.
Until we give him a full, no restrictions, abandonment, and surrender of our life and will, Jesus has nothing for us, and we're just going through the motions, but for no reason.
God, I surrender it all. And I literally told God, I said, Lord, if you need to take even my own family from me, God, I surrender everything.
It is a book that prophesies exactly what is going to happen to you if you do not get this sin out of your life.
When Jesus first shows up in our life, there's a lot of trash in between us and him in our heart. These are things that Jesus would say would disqualify us from walking with him. Who knows better about your life? You or God. Who knows what's best for you? You or God. Why not invite him? If this is what God gives you, this is what's best for you. This will result in glory and praise and honor.
The greatest blessing you can have in your entire life as a Christian is for you to know that God has spoken to you.
He spoke to my spirit, telling me that if I would fire my attorney.
Michael had told us that God had promised that he would deliver him.
Can you please help me? I don't know how to change this. You know, I don't know what to do. I need your help. And that's when I had the dream.
To have him manifest himself to you, it's true. Don't take my word for it. Read the books of the greats. They all got where they got. They all did what they did because God spoke to them. Jesus said, and we often don't believe him, that the path that leads to life and the gate that opens to it is very narrow and very small.
Even though it was such a blessed time in my life, it was one of the most painful.
And if you do not every single day hydrate your soul and your spirit with the Word of God and with Bible reading, devotions, personal meditation time, whether you feel, quote, thirsty or not, you'll never make it.
The majority of spiritual warfare is not in a dark, shadowy figure appearing, but it's Satan taking captive those around us to then do harm to us in ways that are masquerading as human nature. The scripture tells us a different narrative.
And if Jesus Christ is truly inside of you, there is a war in your life.
And the scripture says that people are going to abuse you for this. It says they think it's strange in 1 Peter 4:4 that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. What do you mean you don't care about the Charlie Kirk shooting? You're going to see that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what people tell me, with God's help, I will finish. Regardless of what other scary things and world crises and things people want me to look at, you're going to see Michael Criswell, with God's help, doing what I've been doing for the last 15 years, basically ignoring not my monkeys, not my circus, all the things in the world, in order for me to do what Jesus asked me to do. That takes faith. That takes me having translated my priorities, my citizenship, my allegiance, my lordship.
We always get in a pickle with God in our nature because in our natural selves, we misunderstand God's power. We misunderstand God's purpose, and we misunderstand God's punctuality. That same notion is at work spiritually. God knows that the wilderness journey is a place that is completely against your nature.
Why are you trying so hard to please God, Michael? God is already pleased with you because you believe Jesus exists.
The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him.
Don't compromise.
And these people make it so hard on you, they want you to pay a bribe.
God is looking for people who will go with him to the top no matter the cost. If you haven't gotten to a place where you are mad at God, I would doubt if you've ever actually known him.
I wish just I could keep stretching it and stretching it.
That giant question mark, that painful relationship, that terrible financial situation, if you can get this principle. It got me through one of the most dark, difficult, exhausting times of my walk. And instead, actually, by faith, through obedience, stepping into the actual kingdom of God, the Bible points you to. Jesus Christ said, John 14, 21, 23, that if I love him, I'll obey him. And if I obey him, he'll manifest himself to me. Oh my God in heaven, I think I'm gonna pass out. He was telling me the actual number of days that my divorce was going to end in advance. That 777 day divorce was one of the most wonderful things I had ever seen in my life related to the sovereign power and control of God. Just as the Lord commanded the Israelites through Moses to do regularly, to remember all that he's done for you. This is so important. And he says regularly, my people forgot what I did for them. My people didn't remember. Don't try to emulate somebody else's faith unless you know for a fact that you have been given it. Otherwise, it will absolutely lead to disaster, embarrassment, and a rebuke from the Lord.
Lately, after all this, I'm starting to believe that I'm actually mentally ill. The situation has birthed so much distrust in God and questioning who he is. Just when I thought I had reached the finish line of faith, God would intervene and the story would take yet another dramatic and totally unexpected turn.
A lot of times in my recordings, I felt I was there long before I was actually there.
And I believe that God has shown me that I'm not as far along as I should be right now, largely due to that major failure.
There's going to be circumstances. We can think of those as crossroads that you need to be very confident that you know where you are to go.
And so now I'm having to discern, what is the true grace of God? What do I do?
One time I was not looking down. I almost stuck my foot into the mouth of a rattlesnake. And I would have just gotten bitten by this rattlesnake. We have to be on the lookout for, if you will, the spiritual snakes. I got a really disturbing email. It just really made me feel sick in my stomach, actually. Don't just say, I'm human, I made a mistake. If you've wronged somebody, tell them,
I sinned against you. Tell the Lord, I sinned, I failed, I rebelled, I betrayed. Use the sharp words that the Lord's righteous judgment would pin against you in a court of law. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Paul told Timothy that any elders, deacons, or leaders in the church, if you will, couldn't be new converts. Otherwise, they'll fall into the devil's condemnation. That's pride. In Hebrews 10, we're warned, my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he turns and shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him.
I've had tempting thoughts to just like, forget it, I'm done with this. The ministry is over.
Michael, we have returned to a much simpler faith.
We're going back the way we came. We're turning back. Don't do that. You'll never make it without the promises of God.
This was a promise God gave me before there was ever any Relentless Heart or YouTube videos. God had spoken to me. He gave me a promise.
I knew that my day would come.
I know that my day is coming. And I have these promises from God.
I'm moving along and trying to live as a Christian in my everyday circumstances. Bam.
Apart from you going to jail.
This is it.
You can't get any more trapped
no.
than that.
When there is nothing but darkness, God says right there, here's what I expect of you. It reminds me of Pilgrim's Progress. No matter where he went, there was somebody or something trying to divert him off of that path.
So thank you for showing me that God is supernatural.
And they were going right along with me for a time, and then some titillating, you know, YouTube video pops up. Michael, please read this. I believe the Apostle Paul was a deceiver, to derail them, to get them off of the narrow path.
Every shepherd knows a sheep is the only animal in God's creation looking for the quickest way to die.
But God is pleased, especially when it comes to faith, to kill off and purify your faith. And that comes through terrible, difficult trials.
By March 24th, I see black. It's like everything is against us. I see no hope.
Here I stand on my way to the top, having already been to the summit of faith, the pinnacle of faith, because I had a thorn in the flesh. Despite having a thorn in the flesh, it didn't stop me.
These crosses that I'm not able to tell anybody else about.
Because if you don't have a thorn in the flesh, if you don't have weakness, if you haven't reached the end of you, you'll never get to the beginning of him.
One of the most asked philosophical questions of all time is perhaps, why do bad things happen to good people? I was my own Job's friend when I first began to wonder if my suffering had come from my parents' sin or mine. I needed to know, was this something I did? Or had I inherited some generational curse?
A friend of mine who's a preacher was once asked, what is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He replied, trouble.
There will be times where it will look like God has deceived you. You had a promise, and instead of getting the result that you clearly expect by faith, you get a result that seems to be a smack on the face.
The cancer came back. The sickness led to death. The finances led to loss. But then allow Satan to bring her into apostasy, spiritual death, and eventually the abandonment of the marriage.
I just got to a stage where with each disappointment and each time I'd fly over to America and have to fly home without you, believing that possibly this time you'd be coming home with me, all these disappointments and shattered hopes, it just got to the point where I was absolutely exhausted, like I was worn out.
This is wit's end. God will get you if you're going all the way with him. One of the biggest unmet expectations we have with the ways of God is his timing.
God often paves the road to his greatest blessings with death. The only alternative to desperate faith is despair, but desperate faith holds on and prevails. And we have been holding on.
And take note of the difference of how we are feeling. Long suffering has set in and brought the sentence of death and despair to our hearts on the left. And on the right, you see the joy-filled hearts. He went up on a mountainside by himself. Matthew 14:23. It is just me and the Lord. I position myself to be refreshed by his presence, to hear his voice, to proclaim my love and praise to him, to be showered by his grace, and to find guidance and help for my needs. This was the moment I would shake hands with spiritual death regarding all my future hopes and even expected promises from God.
Even if I never see my wife ever again, I told her, you are an incredible mercy of God to me. Even if I never get to meet my stepdaughter.
She would have thought it was insane, you know, him going to sacrifice their only son, this promise that the Lord had given them. And so I kind of felt like Michael was doing the same thing, like he was killing this promise that God had given us that I was holding on to so dearly.
Only to then experience the highest level of resurrection life and peace in Jesus Christ I have ever known. As we say goodbye to this series, please listen to me. Hundreds of millions of people all over the world profess to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and believe that by their profession, they will gain eternal life and be kept from hell. You may be one of them. The vast majority, as Jesus warned would happen, have failed to build their spiritual house on intentional obedience to the teachings of the Lord. They worship him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him, still loving their lives in this world, still doing their own will, because the man-made, man-centered, false modern church system has brainwashed them to believe that is all they need to please the Lord and to be saved. I was one of those believers for 20 years. Had I died during those years, I know for certain I would have been just as shocked as men like Howard Pittman and Jan Bischoff, both ministers, who died as good professing Christians only to discover they were on their way to hell. By the mercy of God, I did not have to die to find out I was in possession of a counterfeit faith, void of obedience to the King of Kings, which could not save me. By his mercy, God led me into brokenness, where I sought him and where he first began to teach me about the need for obedience. The entrance to the old lost trail and the path that leads to a saving faith and fullness in Jesus Christ, as you have just seen me testify to, is only found when one hears the teachings of Jesus Christ and they begin to put them into practice. Visit our website, relentlessheart.com, and begin taking the John 7:17 discipleship journey, a free 90-day journey through the 113 actionable teachings of Jesus Christ with practical application for your daily life and walk with God. Will you be among those who choose to walk in the Jeremiah 6:16 ancient good path that God said would lead to rest and peace, or among those whom he predicted would say, "We will not walk in it."